Hello, Bible scholars. My, we're in a great camp meeting. It's wonderful to have this great fellowship at the old-fashioned Delmarva family camp meeting. We want to invite you to attend any of the services that you can attend right across the road from Trap Barn State Park, Laurel, Delaware. Ladies and gentlemen, God is blessing us, and we have such a powerful, powerful roster of Bible preachers and singers for this year. David Jones, Harvey Hacker, Neil Gilliland, Gerald Florence, Bob Kidwell, Larry Evans, Mike Roberts. My, what a listing of preaching. It goes on. Linwood Smith, Don Cooper, Glenn Bourne, DJ Maxey, Pat Woods, Kevin Yeager, Hannum Taylor, Matt McManaway, Derek Baker, Joe Guthrie, Jim Book, John Book, we're just so thankful for all of these Bible-believing preachers that are standing up and preaching the Word of God. We have Bob Long, Richard Hansey, Wayne Jocelyn, Michael Jackson, Danny Nichols, Ray Fumia, Sonny Farah, Jim Hedden, Kerry Allen, Ray Fumia, Bob Ponchot, Bobby Wallace, Tom Shelton, and we also are thankful for the McManaway singers and the other singers that will be here. Just a wonderful, wonderful, unbelievable roll back to an old-fashioned, thrilling Bible-preaching, singing, praying fellowship, an old-fashioned family camp meeting. And so it is going on, and we want to invite you. It started on Saturday night. And it'll continue right on through tonight, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night. It's the longest in duration of the New Testament Church of Christ camp meetings. We have a full week of it. And so come on, bring your camper, bring a lawn chair, or sit in one of the chairs provided under the tabernacle, or sit under the trees. Hang around and eat at Pete's Shortstop. We're just going to have a great, great time. And if you've not obeyed the gospel, this is a chance for you to simply take the Bible only and become a Christian only. You can obey the gospel. You're not going to become a Protestant or a Catholic or a Baptist or a Methodist. All we're trying to get you to do is to become a Christian by taking the Bible only. Just take the Bible only and be a Christian only. Okay. Have you been buried in baptism in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. He said in Mark, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We're in a series on the subject of baptism. And have you been baptized? Have you been baptized? The Bible says, unless a man is born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. And so have you been baptized the Bible way? Well, we're going to continue this study. We're in this exhaustive study on the subject of baptism, and we're wrapping up what the Bible says in Romans chapter 6. We studied what the Bible says about baptism in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. We studied and we spent quite a bit of time studying the references to baptism, all the conversions in the book of Acts. We have conversions in Acts chapter 2 and 8 and 9 and 10 and 16 and 19 and 22, and all through there's a pattern. The people had to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and there's another pattern. There was never a delay in baptism. There was never a wait. It was always instantaneous. That is one area in which the religious world is totally departed from the plan of God. They will not baptize the same hour of the day, the same hour of the night, but in biblical days, they'll baptize at midnight. Friends, we've done it. All who will stand for Christ will do it. If you follow along the popular method, you'll not do it the same hour of the day or night. We want to get you to do exactly what God says you must do, and we want you to do it how He says you must do it. In Romans, we've established that Paul is writing to people that were already in Christ. In Romans 1, he is writing to the saints. And these people heard the gospel. No doubt they heard the gospel back at Jerusalem on Pentecost, went back and organized the New Testament church. And we pointed out that they never organized a Protestant church. They never went from Pentecost back to Rome and organized a Methodist church or a Baptist church or a Presbyterian church. There's a lot of fine people in all of these religious groups, and they believe a lot of fine things, but it's what has been added that constitutes the problem, and the names have been added, the denominations have been added, the salvation plan that they have altered has been added, but back there they were just Christians and they went back there to Rome after Pentecost and they didn't organize a Protestant denomination. They didn't organize a Catholic church. They were just Christians and members of the Lord's church. They wore the name of the founder. Right here in Romans 16:16, the Bible says the churches of Christ salute you. The Bible is referred to as the church of God, the church of the firstborn, the church, but it's never called by a denominational name. And someone says there's nothing in a name. How can we say that when the Bible says that there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved? In this book of Romans, chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is zeroing in on baptism, and he asked them the question, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? He is rehearsing their conversion, and he's talking with them, and in Romans 6:3, he says, how shall we that are dead to sin? Now let me go back here in verse 2 rather and start. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Don't you know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Serious Bible student, that verse 3 there in connection with verse 2 points out that baptism means more to God, means more to the gospel writers. Baptism means more in the Bible than it means to religious people today. Because the question is asked, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And then the Bible says, don't you know that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? And so baptism is tied in with salvation and getting into Christ. And this passage, without going on to that powerful, powerful verse 4, even here in verses 2 and 3, it ties baptism in with salvation. And Paul is trying to make them realize that when they were baptized into Christ, and they're not supposed to go on living in sin. The Bible says in verse 3 again, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. We're baptized into Christ. We're not baptized to show that we're in Christ. It doesn't say here, you're baptized to show that you're in Christ. That's what they'll say today. That's what preachers preach today. That's what the religious right is preaching today. But on this, the religious right is religious wrong. My friends, you're not going to be saved just because you're religious right. You're going to be saved because you're religiously right based on the teachings of the Word of God. I guess when it comes to the stand on abortion and the stand on America, I would be way over there in the religious right, but I must say that you can't be saved just because you're against abortion. You must be against abortion. You can't be saved just because you fly your flag. You need to be a patriotic American. But it takes more than being a patriotic American to be saved. You've got to be born again. You've got to be a Christian. You've got to do what God has told you to do. Most of the people of America are lost. And our boys that died in 100 wars didn't die for an immoral America. They didn't die for America's right to be immoral. They never died for America's right to be fornicators and homosexuals and lesbians and whoremongers and dope addicts. They never died on battlefields for you have the right to be immoral and to be a gambling sinner taking God's name in vain. They died that we might have a nation of freedom under God, a righteous nation. And they died believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And He's being denied in our country today. But Paul here is saying to them and is teaching them that their baptism means more than some kind of a symbol. It had to do with getting into Christ. And later on, he points out that it has to do with putting on Christ. And so let's read that verse again. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ? They weren't being baptized into someone they were already in. Why would it say they were baptized into Christ if they were already in Christ? They were not baptized to show that they were in Christ. They were baptized to get into Christ. That's what the Bible says here. And then it says they were baptized into His death. And Jesus was buried. When we're baptized, we're baptized into His death, into His burial. You are not, underlining not, you are not in any way being baptized into Jesus' death when you have water sprinkled on you or water poured on you. You have been sold a false bill of goods. When you were taught that you needed to baptize that baby to get rid of original sin, you were being sold a bad bill of goods. The Bible doesn't teach that that baby has sin in it. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches the contrary. If you want to go to heaven, you must become like that little child. Do you know that in the religious movements of America, originally they have become embarrassed because of the clear consequences and the clear contradiction from the Word of God, but originally, when babies were sprinkled in this country, it was believed they would go to hell without it. Now today, they'll laugh at you for saying that, but that's the reason. And it has been said there are babies in hell less than a span long because they weren't christened or what they call baptized. It's because they believe that they had original sin and they would go to hell if they died without baptism. Now you know that a baby does not have sin. You know that a baby is innocent. But babies originally, all of them, all of the ones that sprinkled or poured babies originally, baptized them, which they called baptism, which is not really baptizing them, but they did that to take away their sins. Now they say it's some kind of a dedication or something, or some kind of a beautiful service, and some of our people are first cousins to that. We must not fall into that kind of a thing, baby dedication and baby baptisms and stuff like that, but I'm pointing this out to make you realize that from day one the church believed in baptism for the remission of sins, but somewhere along the line they started christening and pouring, and the Catholics changed that up. The Protestants liked it and they've brought it on over, but baptism is for the remission of sins, but only when you baptize a repentant believer who is doing it on his own. Infant baptism is a form of religious slavery. Let me point that out again. In America, where we believe in religious freedom, infant baptism is a form of religious slavery. We will christen a little child without its permission, against its will. It'll cry sometimes the whole time you're doing it. One little child, they were trying to christen it, and it could talk a little bit. All it could say was kit. It couldn't say quit. And they were trying to sprinkle it or baptize it, and he was hollering, kit, kit. He didn't even want to. But there are millions in this country that were sprinkled, and it's a form of religious slavery because they were told when they grew up what their religion was. And they were forced into it by being christened as a baby. Had no freedom in it. And there's no biblical rightness about sprinkling or pouring. And so when we're buried in baptism, we're buried because we're in sin. We buried to get rid of our sin. We're buried into the death of Christ. We're baptized into His blood. And the blood takes away our sins, and we arise to walk in a newness of life. And we're to be faithful at the table, faithful at the Lord's church, and faithful in working in His kingdom. Don't forget, the old-fashioned family camp meeting goes right on through July the 17th across the road from Trap Pond State Park. Wonderful fellowship. Everybody's invited. Let's close with prayer. Father, I pray that Your will be done in our lives. Forgive us of our sins and help people to open their hearts to the truth. And bless us with a great meeting at the old-fashioned camp meeting. Through Christ we pray. Amen.